This afternoon, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 19. I'm only going to be preaching to you from the last three verses of this chapter. And I'll be preaching to you from verses 19 to 21. The life of Elijah is a very amazing life. Of how he was so mightily used as a prophet of the Lord. And yet there were many questions that he had in his own mind about himself and his own ministry. And I've attempted to address those questions over past Sundays. Today I want to show you how faithful God is to raise up a man to be Elijah's protege and his successor in the ministry. And really quite a story it is. And so let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time around the scriptures. We pray that we would see that you are the one who holds us in your hands, that you are the one who makes us useful for service for the time that we have here upon the earth. And then you also raise up people to take our place and to see the word continued on and the ministry continue on. And so we pray that this afternoon that you will help us to together behold the glory of all that you do in this regard, and that you will help us to see that you will have ministers to the end of the world, men who will be able to preach your word with power and be able to declare it in such a way that people will be saved and built up in their faith and made mature by listening to the word. We pray that we'll learn together and grow together by this message. In Jesus' name we ask it, Father. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, and starting in verse 19. And so Elijah departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him, and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So we've seen thus far that Elijah the prophet was greatly used by the Lord during this period of time of Ahab's rule in Israel. He was used to confront Ahab and Jezebel concerning their sin, indeed to confront the whole nation when the prophets of Baal accepted his challenge to call down fire from heaven, which they certainly were not able to do, but God did, using his prophet. In the contest with the prophets on Mount Carmel, he was used by God to prove to all of Israel that the God of Israel was the only true and living God. And at this time, I want to build on all the truth that we've studied thus far by seeing how God led Elijah further so that he would fulfill God's purpose for his life. God helped him fulfill his ministry by giving him a protege to stand by him. He gave him the prophet Elisha to help him in his final stage in his ministry. Now, you might say, well, what is a protege? A protege is a person who is guided and supported by an older or more experienced person. They are a person under the patronage or protection or care of someone interested in their career, their office, or their occupation. So it was God who appointed Elisha to be Elijah's protege. He was to learn a good many things from Elijah, and they would begin immediately after he called him. Three significant actions that Elijah took to teach his protege about God's calling him to succeed him in his ministry. First of all, he threw his mantle over him. Verse 19, it says he departed from there, found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of somebody farming with horses or with yokes of oxen. My wife showed us a picture of this, that this is what was done by David Livingston and other people like this that were in Africa at the time that he was over there. And all of these oxen are stretched out in front of the man, and he's trying to plow with these oxen in front of him. It's really quite an impressive thing, and evidently this was pretty customary in olden times, is using large numbers of animals to be harnessed together to break up the ground. And so here comes Elijah, passes by him, it says here, and throws his mantle on him. Now, the action of throwing the mantle on Elisha meant that Elijah had understood that Elisha was being called by God to be his successor. And that's why he threw this mantle on him. He knew that Elisha would be his successor on, you know, as God's most prominent and important prophet to confront evil and to promote righteousness in the nation of Israel. By the way, do you know that God raises up men to do such things? He raises up pastors to preach and to confront people over their sins as well as to preach them the gospel? Well, that's what Elijah had to do a lot. He had to do a lot of confronting people in authority over their sins. But there was a mantle of authority that he wore, and it was a symbol of his authority as a prophet. And so when he passed by Elisha, the Spirit instructed him to cast this mantle on Elisha, and Elisha would know what it meant. Now, I want you to notice the suddenness of Elisha's call to the ministry. It came out of the blue. It wasn't something that he was necessarily expecting. Perhaps he had some intimation of it by the Spirit, but we're not told that. But all of a sudden, Elijah comes up and he tosses his mantle on him. What an incredible thing this is. It came at the initiation of Elijah, who was respecting God in this whole matter. God had already informed him that Elisha was to be his successor in previous verses that we studied. And what I want to try to show you is that it's a good thing when a minister has a protege. You know what I mean by that. Some younger man who will come up underneath him and learn from him, and who will be able to preach or be taught in regard to preaching and teaching, and then be able to take over the ministry that God has given to him for so many years. It's really a very important thing, not only in that day, but in ours. So it's a good thing, I'm saying, when a minister has a protege, when he has someone who's willing to follow Christ by following him, the minister, as Christ's servant. And by the way, a minister is a servant of God. That's what a minister is. The Lord's bondservant. The Lord's bondservant, it says in 2 Timothy, must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance. So you see the greatness of the ministry that is given to God's servant, the pastor, or in this case, the prophet. I want to show you here that it's a good thing for young men to desire the ministry if they feel that God is calling them to that. They have to have desire for the ministry. They need to be able to have the desire, by the way, to stand next to the minister and watch him and learn from him and also help him as they grow up in their understanding of the responsibilities of what the ministry is all about. Now we see here from verse 19 that Elisha was a hard-working man. He was a diligent man. He was not at all afraid of taking on hard jobs. In fact, at the time when Elijah found him, God called him. He was working in the field plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he was with the 12. I like what Matthew Henry says about this. He says that it was an unexpected, surprising call. Elijah found him by divine direction. Or perhaps he was before acquainted with him and knew where to find him. He found him not in the schools of the prophets, but in the field, not reading, nor praying, nor sacrificing, but plowing. Though a great man, as appears by his feast, as is mentioned in verse 21, a master of the ground, and oxen and servants, yet he did not think it any disparagement to him to follow his business himself, and not only to inspect his servants, but himself to lay his hand to the plow. Henry says, "Idleness is no man's honor, nor is farming any man's disgrace. An honest calling in the world does not at all put us out of the way of our heavenly calling, any more than it did Elisha, who was taken from following the plow to feed Israel and to sow the seed of the word, as the apostles were taken from fishing to catch men." So Elisha inquired not after Elijah, Matthew Henry says, but was anticipated with this call. We love God and choose Him because He chose us and loved us first. So it's always a good thing when we work hard at our calling. Let me ask, do you work hard at your calling? God has given every man a calling, and you need to work hard at it. Be faithful in it. It's apparent from the fact that Elisha was working with the 12 yoke of oxen, that he was a wealthy man, that he had this many oxen to begin with. But it's also apparent that it took 12 yoke of oxen to break up the ground that must have been really very hard. This plowing the hard ground, I'm trying to point out to you, is a picture of what Elisha would be called to do in his preaching, in his ministering to the people of Israel. He's going to be called to preach and teach in such a way that with the Lord's blessing, the hard work of breaking up the hard ground of their hearts by his preaching would be done. I want you to turn with me over to Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 10, with me for a moment, if I can find it here myself. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 to 15. It says here, "Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. Therefore tumult shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be plundered, as Shalman plundered Beth Arbel in the day of battle, a mother dashed in pieces upon her children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be cut off utterly. Now, although these verses apply to the last king of Israel, Hoshea, it's mentioned in 2 Kings 15:30, they could well apply to the time of Elijah and Elisha. They would sow for themselves, these two godly men would sow for themselves in righteousness, and they would reap in mercy. In both of their ministries, they would break up the fallow ground of the people's hearts so that they would seek the Lord. And He would come then and rain righteousness down upon them in their ministries to Israel. But when Ahab went into battle, he would die and perish in his sins because he had plowed wickedness and reaped iniquity. He ate the fruit of lies and he would lose everything. But Elisha was a man who was called in the midst of trying to be faithful. This is what I'm trying to show you. Faithful to his earthly calling of being a farmer. And we should be those who are attempting to be faithful in whatever God calls us to do. There's a principle here for us to learn. And I want you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 16 and verses 10 to 13. It says here, Jesus says here, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" But you see, the way that Elisha was he was faithful in little things. And that's what God is calling you and me to be as well. Elisha was trying to be faithful in being a farmer. Do you see that? While he was out there plowing in the field, he was taking care of his business, he was out there doing what God had called him to do. And now suddenly, his whole occupation, his whole life is going to change because God's going to give him a different calling. This sudden calling to the prophetic ministry, which will be such a blessing both to himself and to many, many people in Israel. Well, he was trying to be faithful in being a farmer. And in the midst of it, God was going to give him a promotion. By the way, if you are faithful in little things, God will promote you. God is always looking to see who is faithful in little things so that he can promote you. And in this case, promotion means being given greater responsibility to the Lord to minister on His behalf. Do you see that? Now, it doesn't matter if you're called to be a minister or if you are just an ordinary Christian. You still have a personal ministry according to the gift that Christ has given to you. And as such, if you are faithful in little things, then God knows that you will be able to be faithful in much. And that He can promote you in the church and use you. Or He can promote you in your own giftedness in terms of your usefulness in service to Him, in the things that you do with your life and the things that you do for the church. And what a great thing it is. This is the way that it was for Elisha. His life was one of trying to be faithful. Let me ask you, is that your greatest goal in living your Christian life? To be faithful. Because that is the words that the Lord Jesus will speak to those who are faithful in the final day. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, we still think of ourselves as unprofitable servants. Even after we have done all that He has commanded to us, we still consider ourselves unprofitable servants. But the Lord sees your faithfulness and takes notice of it and will promote you in terms of your own personal ministry in the church and outside of it to other people as well if you are faithful in little things. Now, secondly, Elijah showed him how affection for family is right in a minister. This is really quite a subject, but it's good for us to think about. Verse 20 says, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?'" Now, here we see the eagerness of the young man, Elisha, to serve the Lord. He left the oxen. He ran after Elijah. He had been called and he was responding with joy and eagerness, it says here, by running to him to affirm that call. And yet, we find that he did not forget his past. He did not forget his dear parents and what they had done for him. He asked permission to go and kiss them, to kiss his mother and his father. And Elijah did not deny him this request. He affirms that it was good. So what we should conclude from that, it is right. The right kind of affection for family is a good thing in a minister. It's the kind of affection that honors father and mother, that loves family, that loves the brethren, that remembers their prayers, their training, their instruction, their wisdom, their counsel, their love in providing everything that was needful and good, including everything related to sharing the gospel and teaching good biblical principles to live by. You know, parents, if you are faithful to teach your children well, someday they will rise up and call you blessed. What a tremendous thing it is. And that kind of affection is what the Bible commends here, and it's seen in Elisha. Now, there is a kind of affection that is misplaced, and we need to see that. In this case, Elijah's was good, well-placed. He loved his parents. For all this, he wanted to kiss them goodbye before he launched out into this new calling. But I want you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 9, just a few pages back from where you last were. And verses 57 to 62. I want to try to show you that this good affection for parents was much different. It was a much different thing from the men in this passage who said that they wanted to follow Jesus. That is, Elisha's affection was much different. It says here in verse 57 of Luke 9, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" So I hope that you can see here that there's a great difference between these men who were talking with the Lord Jesus and Elisha in his following of Elijah. First, the first of these men said that he would follow Jesus wherever he would go, but he hadn't really counted the cost of how rugged a discipline it was going to be for him to sleep out under the stars at night, have no bed to lie on at all, and so he refused. And you and I need, as Christians, to realize that sometimes the Lord calls us to endure hardship, and especially those who go into the ministry. And Paul tells Timothy, you have to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You have to learn to endure hardship. That's part of the cross of Christ, which you pick up when you follow him. That's a part of what it means to learn how to minister, to do many things that are inconvenient to your personal and private life and schedule, and minister to people around you. Now, Elisha wasn't afraid of that, but this man that we're seeing here was. And we see here that these men, they all had problems of thinking about what it meant to follow Jesus. The next man that Jesus asked him to follow him said he wanted to first go and bury his father. And Jesus says to him that he should let the dead bury their own dead. And it meant that this man should have let those who were spiritually dead bury their own physical dead. They would have nothing better to do. But as a follower of Christ, there's something more important for him to do. He should go and preach the kingdom of God, Jesus says to him. And this is what Jesus told him to go and do. Now, anybody who's called to the ministry has to be willing to do that. They have to preach the kingdom of God. And they have to broadcast the seed far and wide, as far as they can do it. That's why I've written that tract on the back table. And if you haven't taken one and read it, take one and read it and take it home with you and give it to somebody. But that's what I want to do with my ministry here in days to come. I want to be able to tell people about the gospel in very simple terms, and hopefully we'll see people come to Christ through that simple tract and that simple means. But anyway, the third man said he would follow Jesus, but he wanted to go and bid those who were there at his house farewell. And it appears that when he said that he was really implying that he wanted to somehow hold on to his old worldly life. And sometimes that's the way it is with people that want to follow Jesus. They say they want to follow him, but they want to hold on to their old worldly life. And they don't realize that God is calling them to something that really is quite transformative. It will take them away from their worldliness and give them a whole another view on what the meaning of life is. But Jesus told him that once he had put his hand to the plow, he could not look back. He should not look back to the kingdom of the world, try to pursue that, try to pursue both the world and a spiritual ministry. The two cannot stand together in the final analysis. He could not look back and think that he would be fit for the kingdom of God. So preaching Christ and following Christ are of far greater priority and importance than any earthly comfort or consideration in the final analysis. But Elijah let Elisha go back so that he could kiss his parents goodbye, because he knew that Elisha would leave everything behind to follow him and be his protege. He let him go because he wanted to affirm how important it was for a minister to have affection for his godly parents. He must lovingly care for their welfare, and he should honor all the good work that they have done for him in raising him to walk with God. And then third, Elijah was patient in his instruction with Elijah. Verse 21 says, "So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, and he boiled their flesh. And he used the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people. They ate it. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant." So the actions of Elisha here showed that he wasn't turning back in any way, in a permanent sense, from following Elijah and becoming his protege. Instead, they confirmed that he would leave all and follow him. So he takes this yoke of oxen, he slaughters them, and he boils their flesh, and he uses the oxen's equipment for firewood and gives the people meat to eat. Well, the people that he gave this feast for were his servants. They were his relatives. They were his friends. And he was going to leave them all behind. And at the feast, he would tell them about Elijah's need for him to be his servant and his protege. But after this, he told them this. He also would not leave them first without first making provision for them and giving them final instructions. And in this regard, he fulfilled the saying of Jesus in Matthew 19:21. If you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. He explained to his people the meaning and the implications of his call from God through Elijah. And so we need to see here that there's a very great reality to the words of Christ in Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. And Elisha would come to know the reality of this saying in his life. And we need to see also that Elisha started out his work as a protege, as a servant. And it says he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. He came to know the reality of Matthew 10:24, where Jesus said, "The disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master." So Elisha would become like Elijah as he spent time with him. He would even pray when Elijah left to have a double portion of Elijah's spirit when he was taken away from him. And as disciples of Christ, you and I, we need to pray that we would have more of the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, so that we would serve Him better and be known as His friends, as His protégés, those who are under the patronage, protection, and care of the one who is interested in how we will do His work. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this passage. We thank You for the beauty of it in terms of the service of Elisha to Elijah and the transferring of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha. We thank You for the way that You teach men and give them their ministry. And we thank You that that's the way that You do so with all of us, that You teach us and make us fruitful in service to You. By learning from others first, we stand near them and learn from them. And then we go on, if we are faithful in little things, to be faithful in much. And to be promoted when the time comes when You see that we are ready to undertake the more difficult service that You call us to do. And so help us, dear Lord, to learn these lessons of humility and cross-bearing and learning hardship even, and yet also learning to show love and affection for all that has been shown to us in terms of the people that have gone before us to teach us all that we need to know to be fully equipped to follow You and to be of service to You. We pray it in Your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let's close by singing hymn number 555, Teach Me, My God and King. This wonderful hymn written by George Herbert, the Puritan poet. Really quite amazing words to it. Let's stand together and let's sing them. Teach me, my God and King, in all things Thee to see, and what I do is anything to do it as for Thee. A man that looks on glass, on it may say his eye, or if he pleaseth, though it pass, and then the heaven spy. All may of thee partake, nothing can be so mean, which with this motive for thy sake will not grow bright and clean. This is the famous stone that turneth all to gold. For that which God doth touch and own cannot for less be told. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.